Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and for the next half hour, I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. So keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left. I'm speaking with Brian Ramirez Kyle, who that is his nom de air, and we'll be talking to him today as Mark. He's the webmaster of a website called metabods.com.
That's right.
Yeah, metabods.com. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks.
So we want to first get into a little bit of how one gets to the point of starting a website that's devoted to body mod, erotic fantasy exploration. And so what was the origin? When you look back, were you adding extra legs to the Ken doll in your play set? What was the deal?
Well, kind of, yeah. I do remember when I was a kid, I would make drawings featured men that were unusually muscular to begin with, and I do remember making some of those that had a few extras. But I wasn't even out to myself when I was a kid. Not until I went to college was I really aware that I could allow myself to think about, any kind of alternate sexuality, whether it be, my own homosexuality or, much less these things that were so much more recherché. So I sort of stumbled across some stories online when I was just, looking at, there's a website called nifty.org, which is a compendium of lots of different kinds of erotic stories. And in that context, I stumbled across a story by a man named Josh Dugan, who had written about guys with extra legs. And I suddenly was able to access, that part of my brain that had been interested in that all along, and I was like, oh my God, there's somebody else out there. It actually, is very much in parallel with the process of coming out. You realize that, you're not, certainly a unique kind of freak in your interest in this particular thing. So finding that particular story encouraged me to write some of my own, and when I went to write those stories and submit them to be posted online, I got a response back from a webmaster saying, well, we have a couple of these stories, and that's really all we want because, this doesn't appeal to a huge number of people, and we don't really want to drive anybody away. And I was, a little hurt by that, but I realized that he had a point, and so I made my own site where I and other people like me could post stories that involve eventually all different kinds of body morph transformations. And that's why the site is called Metabods, because, it embraces a lot of different kinds of transformation that people are interested in, that I'm interested. I found that I'm interested in a broad variety of fantasies and alternate visions of the human form.
Well, some of them aren't that far off from what are ordinarily considered to be erotic things. Being men with big muscles is a pretty common fixture for both heterosexual and gay fantasy. But in this particular case, they get to be really, really, really big. They're like they're the 800 D cup muscles.
Right. Well, there's a spectrum, and there's actually, it's not so much of a spectrum as there's a huge, a three-dimensional plane of all different kinds of visions. And so you have, some people that live in the valley and some people that live on the mountain. You might find a fantasy, really erotic where it involves, a guy who just pumps up a little bit and his shirt gets tight and you go, ooh, that's kind of cool. And then the next story that you look at by somebody else is somebody that becomes, you know, 2,000 pounds and, you know, starts wandering through Manhattan, you know, saying kill, crush, destroy. So there's lots of different people involved, and there's lots of different of varieties and extents to which you're willing to go to pursue what's erotic to you.
Well, let's talk about a couple of these. I had as a guest a while back Catherine Gates. I don't know if you've ever seen her book, but she's written a book that kind of maps out the extent of sexual fetish universe so far as it currently exists. And she talked a lot about the different things that would lead one to one kind of fetish or another. But one of the very common fetishes that are talked about nowadays is furries, people who are into dressing up like animals or looking more and more like animals. And that's one of the varieties here.
Yeah, that's the furry community is, and I say community kind of aptly, because they seem to me to be much more insular. And
they have conferences.
They have conferences. And there's, you know, I mean, there's different flavors of that, too. So there, you know, some people are interested in trying to act it out in real life, and they have, you know, the costumes and so forth. And some people are interested in creating, like, online personae that are, you know, sort of your inner animal persona. And often these are anthropomorphic sort of variations on the centaur, or a lot of times you'll find like a humanoid figure that's got like, you know, sort of the musculature of a human, but it's got the fur of an animal, and it has, you know, an intelligent expression, but it also has a muzzle and, you know, a big fluffy tail, but it, you know, human genitals, and so you have this really interesting blend of the human and the animal, sort of trying to get, you know, what's most interesting about both, perhaps. Those are often online persona that people choose for themselves, and they have sort of their own lives and their own existence in the cyber world.
I imagine there's kind of a bleed over into kind of radical fairy and techno pagan kind of.
Exactly. And that's that's why that community has a certain sort of internal legitimacy, because, you know, they've, you know, always been present on the edge in even in like mainstream fantasy novels and all that kind of thing. You know, you might find something like a Fox Tor in an Anne McCaffrey novel or something. So, you know, and somebody like me who's interested in things that are something you don't see on the bookshelves every day, or, you know, you can tune into Fox TV and see on TV, you know, you might be a little envious of the mainstream currency of some of the other groups. But the furry groups are, because my site is predominantly gay, and for the most part, and this is not, you know, this is a very broad generalization, but for the most part, the furries are more likely to be straight. There's a little bit less of an overlap, and there's less of a furry presence on my site than you know, perhaps I would like there to be.
There are sites for people, heterosexual fantasies about horses and becoming a horse and having affairs with horses.
Yeah, that's, they also have, you know, a lot of outlets that, you know, people with an interest in multi-limb or something. Really, my site and the boytoy.net site, you know, there's only a few places where you can really go. There's some Yahoo groups and that kind of thing. But so in terms of, you know, what kinds of things are out there, you have the muscle growth, which, as I said, you know, runs along, you know, several different varieties and extremes. You have a subgroup involving, you know, the male genitalia, which, you know, can involve transformations both in size and quantity. You have macrophile and microphile, which is basically people that are interested in growth, in height, and also in shrinking, and that runs in extremes too. So you might see something that involves somebody growing to 7.5 feet tall, and, you know, becoming really, you know, like tall and lanky and so forth. And you go, well, that's interesting. That's just sort of an extension of the fact that you like really tall guys. And then, you know, there's, you might see something where somebody, you know, bursts out of their house and becomes 100 feet tall.
Attack of the 50-foot man.
Yeah, exactly. And again, a lot of times when you're at the extremes, it's because you're interested in issues of control and domination. And so, you know, if you grow to 100 feet tall, then you have this huge feeling of power and a huge sense of the insignificance of everyone around you. And that, you know, in and of itself can be erotic for certain people. At the extreme, you have what's called vor, which is, you know, when either somebody has shrunk really small or you've become really large, and you end up, you know, eating the little people. Not at all interesting for me, but in terms of, you know, that's one small aspect of what's out there.
It seems like the gayest of all of the different body mods that you show on metabods.com is the replication scenario, because this is actually where you're fantasizing about having a particular kind of same-sex sex partner.
Exactly. And so, you know, that can be like you're looking at, you know, Colin Farrell, say, what's more sexy than Colin Farrell? Well, two Colin Farrells. Or you can look at it from the standpoint of this character is a really hot guy, and he's so hot that the hottest thing you can imagine would be him having sex with himself.
Oh, okay. So the replication is not just replicating yourself. It's also like twins.
Exactly. There's actually, I sort of divided it into two subcategories. You have cloning, which could involve making a copy of an existing person, so that you have, you know, two people, you know, coming out of the machine. And you can also have twinning, which is actually sort of the opposite of merging. It's like one person splits into two identical people. And I personally find that a little bit more erotic, just because when you have two identical, you know, people that used to be one person, you know that they have some kind of emotional bond, some kind of really strong link between their souls, which would translate into much more passionate sex and love. And one thing I want to underline, by the way, is that, you know, we're talking about sex, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, these characters are looking for love, and, you know, they find passion and love with somebody, you know, like themselves, or with somebody, you know, who admires them. So it's not just about, you know, going around and sticking it in. It can very much be about, you know, building relationships. And I've seen stories that arc across, you know, 30 different segments that describe a relationship building between two people concurrent with their body modifications and growth.
I'm speaking with Brian Ramirez Kyle, who that's his nom de air. He's the webmaster of metabods.com, and we're going to use his real first name, Mark, in this interview. So, Mark, just on that point about relationships versus sex, it seems like just looking at the variety of things on the website, I would imagine that the fantasy, the more fantasy-oriented, in terms of a genre, the literary genre of the mods would be more amenable to that, like the centaurs and furries and things like that. You know, it seems like the multi-male member fantasy has a pretty specific, it's not so much a relationship fantasy.
Well, yes and no. I think actually my experience has been that, you know, the muscle growth stories are tend to be a little bit less about you know, love and relationships, just because it has this real sense of, you know, testosterone and, you know, the, you know, Y chromosome and all that, and it becomes very much about masculinity. Something like multi-limb, which is really where I started out. And
multiple legs, multiple arms.
Multiple legs, multiple arms, extra digits. There's a particular type called the boy tour, which was invented by a friend of mine which is a very particular type of young, muscular, sexy guy with four legs. And you know, so you know, you can sort of feel the youthful eroticism of that. But it actually turns out that the multi-limb stories and the boy toro stories tend to be most likely to be involved in finding soulmates, because, well, I don't know the exact reason because, but often it seems that you know, boy toros, because they're unusual with respect to the rest of society, find each other and, you know, mate with each other on the sexual and the emotional level.
That's an interesting point, because I think when you look at Japanese erotica, anime erotica, there's a huge subgenre of hermaphrodite anime. And a lot of it's about hermaphrodites, who are all extremely feminine to external appearances, but they mm-hmm. discover one another, and they're so relieved to discover this secret society of hermaphrodites that they can enjoy and have relationships with. And so a lot of this is defined in terms of its marginal and excluded status, that, you know, these are fantasies about the excitement of discovering someone like yourself.
Right, exactly. And very, very true. The excitement, well, there's two excitements, because there's the excitement of discovering your own true self through the process of transformation. And most of these stories involve an actual transformation takes place, which is very, very erotic for, you know, for the person involved and for whoever else is watching. But that transformation is a self-discovery. And that is, again, that's one of the reasons that the gay people can identify with that so easily, is that self-discovery. And then, like you said, you have the process of finding other people that are like you. And a lot of these fantasies involve, in order to make them realistic to a certain extent, because in order to be able to get into a fantasy, you have to have, you know, the entrance, the door has to be in reality. Because otherwise, you can't get there. You can't identify with the people in it. You have to have some way of entering that fantasy, and so you have to do something about the fact that, you know, you don't see boy toros walking down the street every day. So you have sometimes you have the story set up so that the morphs are invisible to ordinary people, and, you know, only the true people can see it, or you have the people going out into society as sort of an outreach, or using, you know, the magic that made them transform to transform other people or to change social mores. Or you have people, you know, going to an island or something, and, or, you know, some little town in Texas, and forming an isolated community and all being very happy with each other there. Or, you know, they're in some sort of alternate reality where it's really no big deal to have three legs. And so you see these motifs showing up a lot in all of these different kinds of stories where you have transformations that are unusual. But it particularly in genital growth stories and muscle growth stories and in multi-limb stories. And sometimes if you can have a lot of these stories will have sort of a circumscribed set of morphs that you can sort of conceal in daily life, so you're kind of like Peter Parker, but instead of having a Spidey suit under your clothes, you have, you know, an extra item in your genitals, or you have some other thing that, you know, if you take off your shirt, your extra arms, you know, reemerge from your body or something like that. And that process of concealment is also very familiar to the gay community.
Well, as we talked before, on one of the things that I frequently explore in this show is how technologies mm-hmm. will impact human enhancement in the future. And it seems like Another direction that your site suggests is the stone fantasy, where people become made out of alternative materials. And, of course, all of these fantasies might be facilitated in the future by actual biotechnology, where people could actually do one or another of these things. But mm-hmm. the stone fantasy is very interesting to me from a kind of SF point of view. I just was at the World Science Fiction meetings in Boston, mm-hmm. and there were lots of people walking around like the Borg, or, you know, with various kind of Borgian elements. And there seemed to be not only, you know, that fantasy of the fantasy subcommunity of the furries there, but also the fantasy subcommunity who see themselves as, see it erotic or exciting at any rate, to have technology as a part of their bodies.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And there's not on my site, you don't see a lot of, but there's a group I visit that has a lot of images of, like, you know, people taking themselves apart, and you know, it turns out that you're, you know, an android inside or something like that. And yeah, being made of alternative materials, especially if it's something that allows you to do something that you can't normally do as a human. Well, of course, I mean, I watched the $6 Million Man when I was a kid, and, you know, I wanted those robot legs. I wanted to be able to jump over walls. And, you know, or you want something that's unstable that would allow you to become a shapeshifter or something like that. And certainly, you know, these fantasies all involve using either some sort of future technology or some sort of magic. And of course, the apotheosis of that is if you can use technology to create magic, which is has got to happen sometime, you know, several millennia from now, right?
I'd put it closer, but yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on, of course, you know, the technology of an advanced race is magic to us. So you have to have some means of facilitating all of this, and certainly toward the more mundane end of all of these fantasies, as you said, you know, large muscles, you know, we're already doing that. I have a cousin who was undersized as a kid, and so he was given growth hormone when he was very young, and he blew up into this huge, muscular, really hunky guy, and his brother was not too happy about that because, you know, he grew up normal, and he didn't get this extra treatment. And so, you know, penis enlargement happening now. You know, muscle enlargement happening now.
There's a fringe of the furry community who are actually transforming themselves. The people, I'm sure you've seen on there have been a lot of TV specials about the guy who's put lion studs in his face and mm-hmm. tattooed his skin with lion skin and so forth. I mean, right. I think there are a lot of social constraints on the ability for people to go in that direction, just as there are with tattooing and other kinds of, you know, extreme body modifications.
Right. And, you know, once you've walked through that door, it sort of locks behind you. But somebody who's in the position to do that is probably feeling that he's outside society already, just from the basis of his own personal beliefs. Much like, you know, the Star Trek fan who has plastic surgery to get pointed ears. He already knows that everyone else laughs at him anyway.
But, it might be that in 30 or 40 years, having those kinds of mods, mm-hmm. it will be in the same position as, you know, the drag queens, you know, and who led the first revolt, the Stonewall Riots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they could not... Because they could not live any other way, they mm-hmm. had to be on the cutting edge of that kind of change.
Sure. Well, and there's a slight step up from, you know, putting on a dress, which even though you don't want to, you can take off if you have to. And I understand, you know, if you're a true transgendered person, then that's a way of
taking hormones. Isn't that different?
But you know, there's still a step up from. From that situation, and, you know, you have four arms, you know, because there's no way around that. I mean, so, you know, on the one hand, if you've used technology to become 8 feet tall, or if you've used technology to have an 80-inch chest, that's something that could happen any day. And if you're using technology to do something a little bit more unusual, I can certainly see a situation like what you describe, where that's A, technologically feasible, perhaps using the cloning technology that's in development now, and B, something that a maverick would be willing to do in order to, you know, create acceptance. What I'm concerned about is that, you know, it seems to me that technologically the easiest way to make this happen would be with genetically altering, you know, the fetus or something like that, because it would be much easier, it seems to me, to, you know, alter the development of the body than to, you know, graft something on at a later stage.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be legal very soon.
And it doesn't seem like that's going to be, you know, either legal or, you know, morally acceptable. You know, even somebody, I mean, certainly I would have major issues with that, and I, somebody that wants to see something like that happen.
Well, the issue you might get into is you have a bunch of people who have genetically modified themselves as adults to become centaurs. They have
right.
their centaur community.
Right.
And then somebody comes along and says, no, you're not allowed to genetically alter your kids to be centaurs.
Right, right, exactly. Well, and the other thing, too, that you know, somebody who fantasizes about all of this would worry about is, you know, if I were actually confronted with, you know, a really hot guy standing in front of me who was a boitor, you know, a fantasy that I've written about many times. But if he was actually standing in front of me, would I go, wow, that's really hot? Or would the reality of it be so so bizarre that I would go, wow, that's I don't know how to deal with that. So it's very comfortable to live in the fantasy world. Because you have control over what is erotic and what is acceptable and what's fun and what is love. And the issue of how that would translate into the real world is fascinating and a little bit more complicated than it might at first seem.
Some people who fantasize about these things now might find them far less interesting when they actually become reality.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you could. It's easy to write about somebody whose muscles have grown up huge, but you see examples every day of somebody with huge muscles who is not attractive at all.
Right.
Or similarly, you know, a straight man who enjoys seeing large breasts, but the, you know, the extreme of that you see on Jenny Jones is erotic to a much, much smaller group of people.
Well, this has been fascinating, and I urge everybody who is interested to take a look at metabods.com. It is an adult website, not work safe, but in the privacy of your own cubicle or home, take a look at metabods.com. And I've been speaking with Brian Ramirez Kyle, who we've been speaking to as Mark. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS Stores at the University of Connecticut. If you want to learn more about democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts with me, Dr. J, you can contact me at jhughes@changesurfer.com. That's jhughes@changesurfer.com. Or you can read my Change Surfing columns at betterhumans.com or check out the collaborative Cyborg Democracy blog I participate in at cyborgdemocracy.net. Or you can read my new book, Citizen Cyborg. For more details about Citizen Cyborg, visit cyborgdemocracy.net. At the Change Surfer website, you can find past and future shows archived in streaming MP3, thanks to the A Infos Radio Project. So educate, agitate, and organize, and I hope to meet you in a sexy, high-tech, and yet radically democratic future.